Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, we're going to get into the word. Let's pray for a moment before we start. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence in this place and that as much as we want to encounter you, you want to encounter us more. And so we just ask God as we get into the word this morning that your presence would be here and you'd speak to every person just as they need to hear you speak. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, today we're going to start straight from John chapter 5. I love this portion of scripture because it just speaks so much. And we're going to delve in it from a specific perspective this morning. But let's get straight into it. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. Incredible. What really stands out to me in this account is this question that Jesus asks the man by the pool. It seems like he's asking him something that was very, very obvious. But we know, don't we, that often when Jesus asks a question, he's not actually after an answer. He's actually wanting to show us something. Because it seems really obvious, right? This man was sick, and he's laying beside a pool that was renowned for its healing properties. So of course he's there to be made well. Of course he is, right? But the man's response, now this is what Jesus was looking for. The man's response. His response says so much about what his expectation was. You see, he's been waiting and hoping for a miracle. He's been hoping for a miracle for 38 years. And I don't know if he'd been at the pool every day of those 38 years, but he must have been there many times. And now he's still in his sick and weakened state. He's still reliant on others to bring him to and from the pool each day. And he's probably laid there and watched other people get into the pool. He's probably laid there and he's watched others get their miracle before him. And so you can't blame him for thinking that though he's laying right here next to this place where miracles and breakthrough take place, that that's not actually for him. So when Jesus says to him, "Do you want to get well?" We know what we would say, right? Oh yeah, come on, just bring it to me, Jesus. But that's not his response. His whole response is, "Jesus, this is my experience so far. Every time the water moves, I don't get in. And so I'm still here, lying beside this pool where the miracles take place. This is just not going to happen for me." That's what his response says, right? And perhaps you've been a little like this man. I know I have, where my expectations have been built on the disappointment of my past experiences. So much so that though I may be in a church service, though I may be in a prayer meeting, though I may have people standing with me and praying for me, though I lie beside the place of miracles like this man did, the place of breakthrough, my expectation is that that's not for me. It's for everyone else, but it's not for me. And so I come to God again and again with this expectation that's built on my past disappointment, and I settle I settle for being the person who lays beside the pool but never gets in it, never sees the miracle, doesn't see the breakthrough, doesn't have the encounter, doesn't get that word from the Lord. And so I continue to seek God through the lens of my past. I no longer expect him to hear me. I no longer expect him to respond to me. And I just settle for my current state. I settle for the dysfunction in my family. I settle for the brokenness in my life. I settle for the desires in my heart never being fulfilled, for that fear and that depression that holds me down, for the lack in my finances or my relationships. I just settle for it because I don't expect God to show up. I don't expect God to come and do anything new for me. But in Isaiah 43, God expresses through the prophet that his desire is that his people would turn away from their experiences of their past and come expectant and seek him for the new thing that he desires to do. We pull this scripture out every new year, but I just believe that we need to hear this today. In Isaiah 43, it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This word was given to the Israelites while they were in captivity. It speaks of their release from that captivity. It speaks of their deliverance. And God is saying to them, this deliverance is not going to be like the last time. This deliverance is going to be new. Because you see, the Israelites had been delivered before. They'd been released from captivity before. If you've read the beginning of your Bible, you'll know that it talks about in there how they'd been kept in slavery in Egypt, and by miracles worked by God, they were released from that captivity. And that first time they were released from their captivity, they went into the wilderness. But a journey that should have been short took 40 years. And so I think God knew that as he promised them another deliverance, as he promised them they'd be released from Babylon and return back to their city of Jerusalem, that they would think back on the previous time, on their past experience, and they would see this, they would come to God with an expectation based on their previous disappointment of the wandering in the desert. But God promises them here that this new release, this new deliverance will be not like the last. That they're not going to wander for 40 years in a desert, but that he's going to make a way through. That they're not going to just experience water from a rock, but they're going to experience rivers in a desert. And so he's calling them to lay down the lens of the past and start to seek him for the new. And today, I think it's time for us to do the same. I think it's time for us to start to lay down our expectations from the past, to break out of the routines and the expectations established by our past experience and start living with an expectation that God is that God of Ephesians 3:20. That God is the God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, I'm so glad that we are part of a church that is about faith. I'm so glad that we're a part of a church that believes in the power of prayer, that seeks after the miraculous in our lives, that we're a part of a church that is about encounter. That we love the presence of God, that we value the work of the Holy Spirit, and we desire genuine encounters with Jesus. That we're not settling for what's been before. That we're not settling for the way that it has been. That we refuse to just lie down beside that pool and never experience the miracle or the breakthrough that God has for us. That we want to take hold of the new. That we're laying down our past experience and we're going to seek God and seek God and seek God and seek God until we experience the miracle and the breakthrough that he's desiring for our lives. So today I want to speak to you on the thought of seeking the new. You know, when we are seeking God, what we're really talking about is seeking His presence. Yeah, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. Praise God for that. Praise God we don't have to line up to go see Him. He's always with us. The Bible said He will never leave us or forsake us. But when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about His manifest presence. When you read the word presence in the Bible, most often it's translated from this Hebrew word, ponim, which means the face or faces of God. So to seek God, to come into His presence is like coming before the face of God. It's us seeking His attention. It's us seeking His gaze, drawing near to Him so He will draw near to us. You know, in Hebrews 11:6, Paul writes this about seeking God. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. What Paul writes here is that we need to seek God earnestly. We need to seek Him in earnest. Other Bible versions say we seek Him sincerely, we seek Him diligently. But who knows that if we are to seek something, that the act of seeking is only as valuable as the motive which drives it. When I send my kids into their bedroom to go and find their homework diary, and they come out 10 minutes later and say that they couldn't find it, that's not really seeking in earnest. That's not seeking diligently. Every parent knows that's what happens, right? You send them to find their shoes, their socks. Half-hearted seeking will not reveal much. Half-hearted seeking will not reveal much. But earnest, sincere, diligent seeking, that reveals a reward. We want to be the kind of people who experience the power and presence of God. To become the kind of people that no matter what the past experience has been, that we're willing to be those who diligently seek after Him. That we're willing to be those who chase after His presence, who desire to come before Him again and again and again until we see that breakthrough, that we will be seeking the new. In Acts 2, we read of the disciples who were seeking the new. They'd been following Jesus and He had been crucified, resurrected, and then ascended to heaven. And before He left, He said to them, I've got something new for you. You've got the Holy Spirit. He's going to be poured out on you. Don't go do anything until I've done that. And so they waited. But they didn't just wait and twiddle their thumbs and flick through channels and do some online shopping. But they diligently sought after God. They spent 10 days in the upper room, seeking Him, waiting, praying, going after God. Of the hundreds that had seen the resurrected Christ on that 10th day, when the Holy Spirit showed up, there were 120 in that room. And I wonder, you know, how many diligently started on day one and day two. And by about lunchtime, oh, I'm out. I'm done. Nothing's happening here. I'm moving on. This is not for me. I wonder how many tapped out at day five, day six. It'd suck, hey, if you tapped out on day nine. And you heard what happened the next day? Wow. Wow. You know, that says to me that everyone wants to experience a new thing in God. Everyone wants to experience a new thing that God has for them, but not everyone wants to be diligent in seeking it. It's easy to want to give up, but God didn't call us to easy. It's easy to want to say like that man but beside the pool of Bethesda, I've come and laid beside this pool and I'm not seeing any reward. Just to say, well, you know, I tried, and walk away. But we can know this promise is from God, that if we stay diligent in seeking Him and seeking after that new thing, it says here in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This drawing near, it's not talking about a physical movement. Although sometimes that can help, right? If we shut our eyes and we just switch off from everything around us, it can help us to draw near. It's talking about coming near to God, being aware of him, fixing our attention on him. You can do that right now as you're sitting in that chair. You can do that right now. And the best reward about drawing near to God is that you get to find him. Because that promise is right there, that as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And scripture promises that over and over and over again, that those who seek him will find him. That those who are searching for his presence, searching for him, will find him. And when we find him, when we step into that place and acknowledge his presence, and he, as he draws near to us, his presence is manifest on us. And that simply means that he begins to exert an influence over our lives. And there's lots of things that can influence our lives. We can be influenced by the things that we watch, by the things that we read, by the conversations we enter into. But to be influenced by the presence of God, wow, by the one who created heaven and earth, who breathed life into human beings, to be influenced by his presence. The team's just going to put a list on the screen. These are the kinds of things that happen when we come into his presence and allow him to influence us. And it's just a few examples. It's not everything. I think you need to read that Bible of yours from cover to cover to know everything. But in his presence, when we seek God, we find rest. We are heard by him. We find salvation. We find fullness of joy. We are vindicated. We're sustained. We're protected. We're hidden from our enemies. We hear God's voice. We are rewarded. We find direction. We have revelation and wisdom. Incredible. This is what happens to those who come into his presence. You're rewarded by finding him, but rewarded again as he influences you with who he is.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.